All right, we are live.
Oh, we're live?
Yep.
Oh, cool. Hey, everybody. How's it going? I'm still trying to figure out my mod sticking over there. Okay. All right. Holy shit. How's it going? All right. Hey, everyone. We're going to be doing a live recording of the Handy Mam Hotline. Wow, that's really cool that I can see the chat like that, Baze. That is so cool. Man, this when we get a hang of this system, y'all, this is going to be the coolest shit. We are trying a whole different system today for the first time. And we are going to be live recording the Handy Mam Hotline for the first time ever in a way that you can actually see me do it and hear the calls at the same time. What? And see the intro for the show. We're trying a whole bunch of new stuff. So thank you so much for being here. It means the world to us that you are a bunch of guinea pigs. Thank you so much. Wow, I can even see the actual views and current. Wow, days, this is so wild, dude. Fuck, man. You're gonna spoil me with this bagel, and I'm never going to want to do lives in any other way.
I mean, yeah, you are a professional, so you should be doing your lives professionally.
Sometimes I forget that Bay is partially a jerk. Putting me in my place since 2021.
I'm
Warning?
looking to see if we are live on Instagram as well, because we should be.
Everybody. Just hang tight, everyone. If you don't mind just like chilling with us while we figure this out, we will start the show shortly. It's about an hour long recording. I have therapy right after this, so we won't be able to go super long today. But super excited to give this one a try. So thank you for hanging in there. If it's not live on Instagram, that's okay. We can just try YouTube today. And we can do Instagram and TikTok tomorrow. This is the first time that we're going live on multiple different platforms at the same time. And we're using a system that we've kind of used before, but not quite this way. So just kind of walking through it, and Basil, who's kind of the is kind of the smart one out of the two of us, at least when it comes to technology, is kind of leading the way here. Love the hair, by the way. Well, thank you, Grace. I appreciate you. Hey JK, hey Ayla. Thank you for being here. Thank you for modding. Megan! I love that I can see you, Megatron, but I can't. I wish I could add you as a mod right now, but I cannot.
I just didn't have it pulled down so I couldn't see the button.
Oh, are we live on Facebook too?
It's Instagram. It just has the Facebook
Oh.
logo because they're the same.
Ugh.
The Instagram will be the vertical over here.
Oh, I won't be able to see the Instagram chat though, I'm guessing.
We are gonna figure it out in just a second.
Oh. I really appreciate everyone's patience on this. It means the world to me, I'm not gonna lie.
I can bring them in and
Oh.
out.
Wow. That's wild. Oh, it also looks like it's delayed on Instagram.
Well, the YouTube is delayed too.
Oh, is it?
That's, I mean, just how streams generally work.
Oh. Okay. Can I add your links to the real? You can do whatever you want with my links. My links are public. So you can add my stuff anywhere you would like if you want me to be used as a resource somewhere. Oh, that's really cool. So we'll eventually have TikTok chat too on here.
Eventually we'll have all of the widgets set up so you can see all of the chats in one chat box.
I just haven't
configured it yet.
The fuck up, dude. That's wild. Dude, you're so smart. Good. Cool. We are exactly 7 seconds behind. Yep. Cool. At least I know we're in a 7 second delay, so you can bleep me out whenever you want to. All right. Are you about ready, Baze?
Yep. I just went to check both streams. They're both coming through loud and clear.
Awesome. All right, everyone. We're just going to be focusing on the YouTube chat today. Because it's a lot easier for me to focus on one and answer questions at the same time. So, everyone, thank you so much for joining this episode, the live episode of the Handyman Hotline. This is the way it works. We do a cold open, the intro happens, and then I will be answering a bunch of questions kind of rapidly. Basil is going to go back and forth between, reading me whatever question they think that I should answer in that moment. Or playing an audio from our Handyman Hotline, which is Telby. Highly recommend you going to the link in my bio and giving us a voicemail through Telby. I do answer. Right now, I answer practically all of them. So if you have a Handyman question, I will be able to respond to you that way. Okay. It looks like you're already recording.
Yeah, it auto starts recording when we start streaming.
Oh, wow, cool. And I'm already recording on our backup over here. So I'm ready to rock it if you're ready to sock it.
Okay.
No, that's not. One day we will think of a cool catchphrase that you will agree with. I can barely hear here with the volume to. Yeah, I kind of figured that because we set the mic gain pretty low, everybody, because of how loud I laugh. So I will just move the microphone back a little bit and I'll try to lean back before I laugh. How's the audio for everyone now?
Yeah, and it should just take a few seconds.
Mm-hmm. 7 seconds. Ayla, let me know, since you were the one who brought it up, Ayla. Cool, better. Do you want us to go a little bit hotter, or are all of you about right? Is it fine now? Cool. All right. We're just going to go then. There you go. That's what I want to hear. You're low. I got to turn your way up. You might still be on the delay, though, so it's hard to know. That's why I was asking Ayla. Okay. I think we're just going to go, though, because I don't want to record too hot. That would be way harder for us if I record too hot.
I'll keep an eye on it, too, if you're...
Oh,
clipping too much.
You're good, but I'm maxed out. Could you go up like maybe three?
Let me do it from a different. I'll do it from the voice meter over here.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea, Bass.
Okay, maybe let's see how that goes.
Okay, bub, test everybody. How's that now? Test. I got you, Mac. Yeah, there's quite a few of you that are still maxed out, and I don't want you to be maxed out if possible. Testing. How's this one? How's this for everyone now? Do you need us to go up just one more smidge? Too hot to go.
JK.
God, JK, get the fuck out of here. All right. Okay. Just a smidge more. All right. We went up a smidge now. And Ayla, I'm counting on you, okay? So this is on you now. You have to tell me if it's good on you. I'm relying on the one person of all my mods that has the least knowledge of tech stuff that I have. So you and I, Ayla, are on the same technological playing field.
Why don't you just go ahead and do the cold open and we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, well, okay. All right. Oh, because we are underneath that hour now. All right. This is the Handy Mam Hotline, and today we're going to take question. Well, hold on. Everyone gets to see how many times I fuck up the cold open. Welcome to the Handy Mam Hotline, and today we're doing a live recording here on the good old... No, why am I saying that? All right, one more time. You're watch. Welcome to the Handy Mam Hotline, and today we're doing another lightning round with Mercury. So let's take all those questions. So roll the intro!
Mercury, Mercury, stardust. She's a beacon of hope in the darkest night. Mercury, Mercury, stardust. She'll teach you how to make it all alright.
Hey guys, gals, and non-binary pals, we are doing a very special episode today where we are live streaming this as I'm recording it. I have never done this, so I kind of don't know what I'm doing. And you know what? I am worth the time it takes to learn a new skill. So we are going to be doing another lightning round today of one question after another. I have not really looked at any of these questions. I've skimmed a few. I've thrown them into the pile of questions that we have today. But Basil has a bunch of them. And from time to time, you may hear the voice of Gay Jesus, and that's this person.
Hello.
How does it feel to be described as Gay Jesus?
A little sacrilegious.
I don't know. Doesn't that feel right for you and I? So from time to time, you might hear Bagel Bites chiming in here. They're going to be reading all the questions for us. So, Bagel, I'm ready for the first question of the day. If you are my good friend.
We're going to pretend I am. Here we go.
Oh, good. Preparedness. We are live.
Our first question today comes from Nicole. Nicole says, "Hi, Mercury. I love your work and your channel, and I was hoping you could help me with a handyman question. Mm-hmm. I have been moving house and realized that much of my hardware supply stock is lacking or plain old. Lowe's used to be my go-to place, but with them rolling back on DEI, Home Depot, Ace, Tractor Supply, etc., financially supporting harmful Republican agendas and politicians, yeah. And then Amazon, eye roll emoji. I don't even know where to go to buy the tools and supplies I need and ensure my money is not going to these companies. I live on the West Coast in California, so you might not know the options we have, but any help in putting my consumer spending in the right direction is appreciated.
Woof, boy, this is a question I've been getting a bunch lately. I've been seeing people asking me, where do you go for ethical DIY stuff at this point? And the answer is, there isn't really a whole bunch of options. Sadly, the industry is absolutely driven by, a very strong base of people. And that strong base doesn't sadly align with a lot of our ideologies and, honestly, existences. So that's a fun thing to realize sometimes. But there are places that are better than others. Harbor Freight has been a very strong vocal about not rolling back their DEI right now, as I'm recording this right now, but in the 6 weeks it'll take for this to come out, I don't know if that will be true because this happens so fast in the day and age we live in right now. Ace Hardware is franchised. So every once in a while you have a bunch of, Ace Hardware folks who are owners, who are franchisers, who really care a lot about, celebrating queerness, celebrating diversity. But it doesn't necessarily isn't always one for one. Like, it isn't every single Ace Hardware. So it's not going to be any of the major ones, from what my understanding is. It's going to have to be a lot about who you're buying from. So the actual companies themselves. So I would look up Stanley. I would look up Klein. I would look up the bigger companies you're actually buying from, and then finding out what their stances are and going that route. So going one step further and not looking at the place that you're buying this, the supplies up, but looking at the supply companies, looking at them and what they stand for. There are some good ones out there. Can I think of any off the top of my head? No, not right now. I cannot, because it does require a lot of research. But because Editing Mercury loves to do her job so much, in the future, so not right now, there will be a list and maybe even a voiceover of all the places that Mercury, the future me, looked up. And I'm sure she's not cussing right now and is mad about it.
I can't wait to overhear when you edit this
part.
Oh,
man. Sometimes I do this to the future me, and it is, I cuss so much. There was a episode this week where I was just bitching like the whole way through. But anyways, okay, I answered the best I can. Is there anything you want to add, Bagel? I mean, one of the ways you can look, what is that one website, Basil, that people look up, like, I don't know what it's called. It like checks where the money is going.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know either. Maybe someone on the live chat right now can help me, and then I can act like I knew that the whole time. but yeah, you could always look it up that way. That is one way to do it, but that's a lot of time consuming stuff. And now I'm just buying time until I can see what the chat says. See, you gotta outsource knowledge, outsource creativity, one would say. But rocket? What does that mean? Live chat.
The rocket app?
The rocket app, someone says? Okay. All right. I'm just going to run with that one for now. Cool. If anyone's ever worried about my swearing, all I'm going to say right now is I don't fucking care what you fucking think. I really don't. If you police language, I think little of you. Anyways, we are going to go with it. You can always use the Rocket app, someone said on our live chat right now, to be able to look up the people who might be actually donating to better causes than the right-wing ones. But it's really hard to do all that work. So hopefully the future Mercury got off her butt and did it. I'm sure that went over well in the editing room. All right, I'm ready for the second question of the day there, Bagabytes.
All right, our second question comes from CBB. They say, hi, I love watching your videos. Great DIY help.
Ooh.
Have you done any about drilling into brick?
Yeah.
We have an old house in the UK, and putting up shelves is a major pain. Thanks.
I have a video on this if you need some visual aids. It is available, I think, on all of my platforms, on the YouTube, Instagram, and the TikTok. But essentially, one of the best ways to do it is get some type of tape. Like put, painter's tape can sometimes stick to the brick. It all depends, but any type of tape is going to help keep it from crumbling when you're drilling into it. And then you're going to want to get like a specialized brick, masonry drill bit. Masonry drill bits are going to be a little bit different, a little bit tougher, specializing in this. And then you want to get a brick anchor. That's the way that I have always essentially done it. They do make screws. I forgot what they're technically called, but they do make screws that are, you don't need the actual brick anchor to insert. I don't use those as much. I like to make sure that I'm using a two-step. I think that in this instance, the two-step process of putting something in the wall, I have found to be much stronger. I feel like putting a screw, even if it's specializing in masonry, might be very questionable at the best. I feel like it's going to rip right out of the wall. But if you do it with a brick anchor, essentially you insert it into the hole that you drilled and then you pound it into place. And then once you screw a bolt through it, it expands it. And it really just like grabs onto all the brick. And if you've done it correctly, it will expand out more than the entry point of that hole, which means it won't be able to be pulled out. So if you do it that way, it should work pretty decent for you. But yeah, I hope you're doing good overseas. I hope that the UK is holding better than the US is right now. But anyways, yeah, that would be my answer. I don't have much else to throw in there, so I feel like I answered a really fast one today. Hoo-hoo-hoo, look at me on top of it. I don't think there's a whole lot of other ways to do that job.
All righty, you ready to move on to the next one then?
Yes.
All right, question
three. She says with a deep voice, yes.
It comes from Katie, and my screen just went black. Hang on 1 second. Katie says, hello, I've been a fan of yours since no one outside of Madison knew who you were.
That's a big claim, Katie. That's a big claim.
It's been such a privilege to watch your growth and success. I'm always so impressed how you frame gender and politics. I let my anger take over, and you have such an amazing balance of anger and grace.
Oh, yeah, okay, Katie.
Anyway, I have a renter fix-it question.
Okay.
I was dumb and transferred my plants to bigger planters in my kitchen sink, thinking my garbage disposal would take care of the detritus. I was so wrong. My kitchen sink is now backed up and the garbage disposal has stopped working. What do I do?
Oh, boy. A garbage disposal itself, when it's on a sink assembly, can be kind of a pain in the butt. It's harder, usually in this instance, I'll tell you, just take the P-trap off and clean out the P-trap and try to make sure there's not dirt that's going to go down the drain. But it sounds like it just, like, clogged up the actual garbage disposal, so it might be a little bit more of a big yikes to try to fix all that. But one of the things that will happen right away is that it will, it's not technically called a fuse, but there is a built-in breaker, essentially, that prevents the garbage disposal from overheating underneath it. So there will be like a little red button that you can push once you're ready that will basically turn it back on. But before you do all that, you're going to want to unplug it, and you're going to want, honestly, I would probably take it off. I would probably try to take the whole garbage disposal off and then flip it upside down. This also works really well when you break glass in it. If you break glass in a garbage disposal, there is no real great way to get it all out unless you flip it upside down. You could maybe take a little bit of a wire and poke it through there and try to get some of that dirt out and then wash it out maybe. That might be a way to go. But I think with all that dirt, it's probably going to clog it up. So I think the best route is to take it off and disconnect it from, you know, if you got a dishwasher that's hooked up to it, you disconnect it from that. You disconnect it from your drain tailpipe. You disconnect it from all that. And then you do a little lefty-loosey twist turn off of its, like, bracket that holds it all together, and then you pull it right down. They're not that hard to get off if they're newer. If they're older, if you're a renter and they've been on there for quite a few years, boy, they don't want to go back on. So you might not want to do it that route. But if you broke glass, there isn't really much of a other way to do it. If anyone else is listening to it and is having that issue, then it's just flip it upside down into a bucket. And I would even do this with a dirt too. Flip it upside down and throw it in there. And then just tap the butt. Act like it's a baby that's ready to burp. and tap it real good. And see how much you can get out. Once you do all that, then I think you'll flush it, you know, taking it to the bathtub and running some water in that way. I would say do it with the sink, but I don't want you to have water everywhere because you disconnected all the pipes, but you could go to the bathroom and knock it all out. And try to get as much of that crud out as possible. There is not really another way to do it. And then put it all back together. It's ready, tidy. It goes right back into its slot, and you spin it out. It can be kind of a nightmare to do that. They do make, if you're someone who does this a lot and takes it on and off a lot, or if you're someone who does installs with garbage disposals, you can get yourself a garbage disposal like install tool, which is a chain and a bracket that goes across that chain. And it just basically goes up through the sink hole while holding the garbage disposal, and then you can hold it up with a chain and like put it through a slot, and then just it holds it up while you twist it in place. Boy, does that save your arms. If you don't have a lot of upper body strength, that $8 tool is a life changer. Highly recommend that one. And then you put everything back together, flip that breaker back on, plug it in, and then you should be good to go. If you knocked it all out by taking it all off, you should be fine. There should not be a whole bunch of different things in there. So hopefully that is good for you, and that does all the tricks. I'm ready for the next question, my good friend.
Okay. Our next question comes from Lauren. Hi, I saw a video where someone was telling you that you weren't trans the right way and you reclaimed the term brick. I spend a lot of my time reminding myself that outer beauty does not really matter, and it's nice to be told. I'm also aware that telling strangers on the internet that they are attractive is almost universally creepy. I just really wanted to let you know that non-passing trans people are gorgeous. I love your content, and I know plenty of cis women who look less feminine than you. Feminine beauty, in quotes, is such a tool of the patriarchy. You owe no one passing. You know no one pretty, but you already know that. I just wanted to revel in some brick pride. I feel like this has been very clumsy. Sorry if it's weird. I just wanted to send you some meat suit-based good vibes.
I want you to know that I do pick these questions out every week, and this is the second week in a row when someone called me hot. I appreciate it. I really like doing the brick brick video. One of my favorite ones I've done in recent years. I think that, like, for a lot of people, there's the standard of transness is surgeries. The standard of transness is, you know, what we see on TV a lot, and there's a lot of glamorized versions of it. And I think that we don't get a whole ton of representation when it comes to, you know, non-passing trans women in the public eye, right? I feel like there is such an emphasis of, if you want to be successful, you have to look a certain way if you're trans. Is the respectability politics of all of it? It has less to do about I want to look hot and more to do with wanting to be accepted. And I think that a lot, especially a lot of trans girls, get that into our head that because we wore camouflage for 30 years, right, because a lot of us were disguised as a man for so long, we were in conversations with people who said how they felt about trans people. And because of that, that can lead to internalized transphobia, and that can lead to us being, you know, us feeling like we know how people talk about us because we've been in those rooms where no one else thought there was a trans woman in that room. And that can be really tough. That can make it really, really hard to be able to work through that. So I think it's important to just say what it is for me. You know, there has been a debate since that video came out if I am, you know, if I am passing or not. There's been a debate amongst my friend group and B, some people online. I do believe that I don't really think it matters for me. I think that for me, it's really important just to take that brick title and run with it and redefine it and kind of celebrate that part of me, regardless if I pass for some people or not. I don't really think it's relevant. I think the only thing that matters is, you know, inspiring people and making people feel like they're seen as well. And we don't get enough of that. We don't get enough of that within a trans community, seeing so many of us, you know. I also think it's very abnormal to see someone who would be classified as non-passing in a role like this. I think that it can be very tough to be defined by other things than your transness. But being the trans handyman and being known for DIY and being known for writing books and being known for all the things outside of my transness is pretty cool. So yeah, I think that that helps with it. I think that helps with the representation all the way around. So sometimes you just got to reclaim terms in order to empower those who are around you. So I want to be the person that that I didn't have growing up, and I never saw anyone who was openly queer in this industry until much later in my life, in my adulthood. So I hope that it's helping you, and I appreciate you, and thank you for calling me hot.
Alrighty, next question comes from Amber. If not Drano, what do we do if a plunger doesn't work?
You gotta do the Cobra Skinny Drain Cleaner. I say this all the time. I feel like I'm on broken record, dude. But a Cobra Skinny Drain Cleaner is the best route to go, especially if you're a renter. If you're a renter, I highly recommend getting the Cobra Skinny Drain Cleaner because it's only 8 feet long and it's not going to get you into super duper trouble. It's also an eighth inch coil. So the wire itself isn't wide enough to get stuck like a lot of other snakes might. A lot of other snakes around 1/4 inch or even 3/8 of an inch can get kind of, you know, get you in some trouble. So that 1/8 of an inch really helps to prevent a lot of it. Just make sure that you bend the tip at a 45-degree angle. You bend that tip at a 45-degree angle, you're going to be real happy about it. That's going to help bend it and get it around those hoops, you know. If you ever used a snake before and it felt like it wasn't going down the drain itself, It's because you didn't put that first inch of the snake at a 45 degree angle. So take that coil and bend it so it naturally goes down. So when you're spinning it, it does it. If you don't want to do the Cobra Skinny Drain Cleaner, there are other products. I think that like a pistol grip hand auger is probably the next one up. That one can be hooked up to your drill. It doesn't have to be on your drill, but it can be hooked up to your drill, and that makes a life a lot easier. But stay away from anything plastic. Don't do Zip-Its. Zip-Its can break and fall apart. Everyone always will tell me, oh, I've used a Zip-It and that's never happened. Okay, good for you, but it can break. It can do that thing. So be mindful of all of that. And that's extremely important. And also, I would say that there's also other products out there that are like metal versions of Zip-Its. I don't know what those are called, but they're getting more and more common. To me, they only really clean your P-trap. They are only long enough, like a foot long, so they can't get down deep anyways. So at that point, just take your P-trap off and do it from and snake it from there. I don't really see the purpose of that anyways. And if you're in your tub, I think it does serve a decent purpose in your tub, but I wouldn't see how it would make sense in your sinks or anything like that. So, yeah, that would be my hot answer with that. I think that, you know, also there's a misconception of me not thinking you should use Drano ever. I think that chemical drain cleaners do serve some purposes, but I think they're preventative. I think before the problem happens, like keeping your drain clean, not you having a clog, right? And to be honest, if you're going to use any product, I would use Thrift 100% Lye, or any product that's 100% Lye, because that will actually burn through hair and loosen it up rather than Drano that it weakens once it touches moisture and it weakens once it touches water. There's going to be people who are going to say stuff like, yeah, but, you know, I've seen those videos where it does definitely eat through hair. Yeah, after about 45 minutes, but it's only supposed to be in your drain standing still for about 20. So that's why I'm not a huge fan of Drano. It's same thing with acid. A lot of that stuff, once it hits any moisture, any built-in water, it weakens it. And it's like punching someone from 8 feet away instead of punching someone with an uppercut 1 foot away from you. It's like it weakens it altogether. It doesn't have the same oomph. So keep that in mind when we are actively doing this work and trying to consider what one to use. But yep, I would stay away from it altogether if you're able to. If you just want to go a different route, baking soda and vinegar. Baking soda and vinegar is probably the best option for cleaning anyways, but Lye is a close second. So there we go. She answered it with the same answer she does all the time.
Okay, next question comes from Basil.
Oh, good. Is it a you Basil or a different Basil?
It's a me Basil.
Okay, cool. So you once again are using your privilege as my VP of the company to take advantage of this.
To spread some knowledge. Yes, correct. So I was wondering, do you know if there is like, is there any videos of these drain cleaning chemicals inside of a pipe? Like, has anyone done that?
Are you queuing me up for an answer on our YouTube page? Is that what you're doing?
No, I like legitimately, I want to know like if anyone has done these videos.
So A, we do have a video on our YouTube that had like that was one of these episodes. I actually put it in there. So this is me right now editing Mercury, putting in a video right now of what it actually looks like in the drain and what the side of it actually looks like. So you'll get to actually kind of see what it looks like when it does eat up some of the grime. But there isn't, I don't know if there's like a really good video of it, because a lot of times you can't really use, I mean, you need it to be an old pipe, right, Baze? You need it to be an old pipe. And unless you put an endoscope in it.
That's literally what I'm thinking. Like, I would love to see endoscope videos of real pipes using real drain cleaners.
So you're telling me I need to go over to your house with an endoscope and we need to put Drano down it. Is that what you're saying? Is that what we should do?
I mean, it would be cool to see.
Okay, well, you have access to the Amazon. You go buy me a decent fucking endoscope. I mean, honestly, I think that's probably something we can try to do. I think that'd be a lot of fun. Because I also think it's going to be different for hair natural, blockages. Like, you know, it's normal to have toilet paper in, you know, in toilet seats and stuff, in toilets and et cetera, like that. Like, that will block up. But the one biggest culprit that will get people almost every time is having some type of hair product, especially that if your hair is more coarse. Hair that's more coarse will gum up faster, and if you use any type of gel or any type of product that will kind of gestate a little bit, putting that down the drain could very much cause the worst type of clogs. People who have finer hair or shorter hair, you don't typically have the problem, but coarse, longer hair can have it can be a little bit tougher to work with. And I do think that though different kinds of hair will interact with those chemicals differently. You know, like if it's coarser and it has gel in it, it's going to be different than if it was a dry piece of hair that's straight and thin. You know, like it just is going to be different. It's going to be easier for that lie to eat through, you know. So I think there's a lot of variables. It makes it hard to do a real good study. But boy, would I love to fucking try.
I know, that'd be so cool to see.
That would be. Well, now we're going to do it. I hope you're right now in our Amazon and just buying one at least. Yeah.
I'll add it to the cart. We've already got all that other stuff in there.
Yeah. All right. I'm ready for the next question.
Okay, this is actually perfect timing because I just saw in the Instagram comments someone also asked this question.
Oh, we're getting a live question. What?
It's a live and a pre-selected because it's the same question.
Oh.
All right, here we go. Help. I ran out of ideas. How can I remove a screw if the screw head is broken? Many thanks in advance.
Can you see the bolt, or can you see the screw at all? Like, does it have, is it any of it exposed? Because if any of it is exposed, right, then you can take a vice grips and grab it and then twisty-wisty it right out, right? But if it's not, the only other option really is either do an extractor, which will cost you, I don't know how much our extractor was. I think it was $25-$40. And I got a Bosch extractor. So basically what it is a screw extractor will kind of like drill a hole into it and make a hole specifically the way it wants. And then it will have another drill bit that goes in that will have the opposite side threads. So normally it's like threads go clockwise or whatever on a drill bit. Well, this one will do opposite. So when it's drilling into it, it'll bite into it. And then you can reverse it and sometimes pull it out. It does not always work. It works maybe like 25% of the time. The other option is just to drill it out. So the other option is to take like a drill bit and size it up. So go one size bigger than that drill and then just drill it right out. That isn't always the best option. But if this is something you need to get out of and you need it to come off, that might be the best option. So that is probably the only way that I would probably go in this. So I don't know. Does that answer the question, Basil?
I think so.
Yeah. I don't know. There really isn't a whole lot. I mean, I know a lot of people will try other tricks, like even people will try glue and all that stuff, but it really doesn't. That has even a worse success rate. Than any of it. And people already in the chat are saying rubber band. That does not really work when you have a broken screw or a broken belt. That stuff just does not work. The only real chance that you got is, doing an extractor bit or drilling it right out. So, yeah, I hope it goes well, but go slow. go. So maybe even honestly getting some drill oil and putting it on it first and letting it soak for maybe a minute or two and then doing it. That might be, the next route to go. That drill oil is going to make it a little bit easier, but it could make it slip too. So if it's something you don't want to damage, right, put a piece of tape on it so everything around it doesn't get damaged. So put a piece of like painter's tape or duct tape or something, and then take out an X-Acto knife and cut open that spot you're going to drill and then do it right through that. That will prevent it from sliding and, you know, scraping up something you don't want it to do. So anyways, yeah, I answered a live question, I think.
Woo!
Woo!
All right, I'm going to read you this next one and then go to the bathroom because I have to pee.
Okay, so I have to take enough time for you to run upstairs to the bathroom and then come back down.
Correct. That's okay. Why I'm telling you.
You have peed so much in the time period of we've been best friends that I know exactly how long it will take you to run upstairs and come back down.
I know. You got this so good.
You got 3.5 minutes, buddy, so we better go.
All right, your next question comes from Samantha. Hi, just wanted to say I absolutely love your content. I have a quick question if you don't mind helping. Mm-hmm. So I'm renting my property and the flush button keeps getting stuck. Do you have any reason on why this could keep happening?
I want you to know right now, Baze, you picked the wrong question.
I can pick a different one.
No, just go. Go. I will try to take 3 minutes to answer this question, but go. Run, Basil, run. All right, everybody. Here we go. I got to take 3.5 minutes to now answer this question. So Basil has a time to go to the bathroom. So if you are having an issue with the, like, it not wanting to flush, the shortest answer is going to be just replacing it. It's really, really cheap. They're like $5 to $7, but there are chances that you could probably do some lubricants for it that would be good. A lot of times these things are plastic, so you got to be careful with what you're putting on it. You don't want to eat away at that plastic. But maybe it's not tight enough. Maybe there's a nut on the backside. So if you take the cover of the toilet off, you will reveal that there's like a little nut that's like screwed into that handle. Sometimes they do get loose. You know, the more they get up and down and the more that they get beat up, they can often get loose. So it could be that. It could also be a combination of the chain not being tight enough, right? There's a chain. Typically, there's a chain. Sometimes, depending on, you could have a different type of setup. You could have a barrel instead of having a chain with a flapper. But if you have a flapper in your toilet, which is not a 1920s girl that's just living her best life, it is a rubber stopper that sits flat on this hole that drains all the water, and that flusher, your handle will push down and then pulls it right up, and then it kind of floats in that water and then lands back into the hole. But if they are loose, if the chain isn't very tight, it won't lift it up high enough, and it will kind of just be like, you know, it won't really have its ability to hang in there. So I hope that that makes sense. I hope that is a route that you could go. If you are a renter, I get another thing that you can do is maybe it's not. If you're having problems with a different issue where you're not necessarily, it's draining constantly or it's draining randomly, it could also be because that rubber, that plastic or whatever that type of is not sitting properly anymore, and it is requiring vinegar. Like you can put some vinegar in there, clean it with vinegar, and that can take some of that sediment off. I believe that Basil's back now. Are you back, Basil?
I'm back.
I saw the mouse move, and I got so excited because you know how long that took you?
How long?
2 minutes and 55 seconds.
That's so funny.
I'm also amazed that it took me that long to answer that question. Teamwork, buddy.
All right. Are you ready for another one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We've got a question from Emma. Hi, longtime fan and self-taught to fix my home appliances and repairs.
All right.
I was wondering if you could give suggestions or do a video about dryer repair. When I press the start button on my dryer, it will hum, but it won't, like, click on. I tried replacing the door sensor, and that didn't work. And now it's doing it again, and I'm stumped. Thanks in advance.
No. When it comes to washers and dryers, man, I have, like, the worst luck with them. It really comes down to make and model, like I say all the time. You know, if you give me the make and model, I can look up for it and be like a second pair of eyes for you, but it's very hard to do it. I think the one thing that you replaced is probably the one thing I would have started with anyway. So I think that, like, you're already in that right direction. They said that when they press it, it just buzzes, right, Basil?
Yeah, it says it will hum, but it won't, like, click on.
It says it's humming, but it's more... Maybe the control board? Maybe the control board in it is not, doing its job anymore? It also is dependent on age. You know, you don't want to... If an appliance like this is more than 10 years, you might not necessarily want to throw all the money at it because it's going to be harder to find parts anyways. So I wouldn't necessarily be the one who would go for that route. So maybe it's more worth it to get a different, you know, dryer and washer than that. So that would be the route that I would go. Wonderful. Our wonderful, amazing moderator is yelling at me right now being like, you got to tell him about Renda. Tell him about Renda. For those who don't know, we have a really, really good friend of the podcast, really good friend in life. Her name is Renda. That's R-E-N-D-U-H. Post-Mercury is absolutely spelling it out on the screen right now, and I'm sure she did not draw a mustache on my face. But all that being said, Renda is a great resource, but I would also tell you, she'll probably tell you the same thing, that it really does depend on the make and model, especially because, like, there's newer models right now. If it's a newer one that's like a Samsung and it has a lot of smart things in it, it starts being more and more difficult to figure out. If this is not yours and this is a rental situation, then just be mindful that you could accidentally be, messing up the warranty on that. And we don't want to do that too. So just be mindful of all of that. Okay. I threw a pencil, so you know that I'm done with that question, Basil.
Nice.
Yeah.
We did actually just get a live question that I thought was pretty interesting, so I thought maybe we'd look at this one.
Okay, go ahead. I can't read it, buddy.
Everyone... Oh, I got you. I got you. First Sparrow Cat here.
I can barely keep focus on what I'm doing, and then I'm seeing things on the side, and I cannot do both.
Sparrow Cat says, I'm a new fan, and I love your work. I'm a renter looking to become a homeowner. What is your take on buying a plot of land and having a modular home delivered to it?
I think that a lot of people are going to tell you some crappy things. They're going to tell you, oh, it's going to depreciate from the moment that you buy it, et cetera. I think you do whatever your heart desires. I think that it's really dumb to think about how everything needs to relate to money. I just hate this world sometimes when I feel like everything's linked to like desperation and making sure that you have value in it 10 years down the road and all that jazz. And I just don't think that the life and the world should revolve around, capitalism and that being the driving force. So land itself, if you own the land, that is like the best way to do that, in my opinion. Because then the land itself will always have some of that value. So some of that argument goes away. I think the thing that does suck, and the reality of it does suck, is that when you have to lease the land or you're at like a trailer park, right? I mean, me and Basil both grew up in trailer parks, and we'll tell you that can be an issue, right? And then someone else buys the trailer park and then they raise the prices of that, of the land. And then now a place that you lived at for 25 years and you even own the trailer itself, and now you're screwed. You know what I mean? So that kind of stuff does suck. So being mindful of that. But I think that that's a good option. I think it's a really good option, especially because then it allows you to be where you want to be, you know? Modular homes are much more stationary. So there is that, you know, you got to really make sure that that's kind of where you want to be. But I think that, you know, it's a great place to start. And I'm all for that. What do you have anything to say about that, Bass? This is kind of something up your alley, too.
There's a lot of different options. So I think, like, just look into, like, do your research, find the different companies, the different kinds of models they offer. Because, like, sometimes you can even build, like, custom layouts. You know, you can kind of Lego brick them together.
Yeah, there are some good people in the chat, though, who have some opinions. And there's some people saying that, you know, the insurance can be an issue for mobile homes and modular homes. That's true. But I think insurance is really becoming an issue for homes in general now. As a new homeowner, I'll tell you right now, insurance is not what it once was. It's harder to get it to cover a lot of stuff. You need to kind of go over and bend over backwards for it. If you live in Florida, hell, you can't even get some of your houses to be insured to begin with. So, like, I think the insurance on your homes is vastly, desperately changing very quickly. And I don't know if that should stop you. I think if your heart is set on something and it's really what you want to do, I think it's best to know what the consequences of your decisions are. But I wouldn't necessarily let that prohibit you from going down and doing something you want to do. You know, again, you own the land. So at the very least, you still own the land. Now, are you somewhere where that land is going to be more valuable later on? I don't know. But I think that's a heck of a way to start with a home, you know. Hey, it's really a big deal right now with homesteaders, right? So that might be another thing to throw out there. You might want to also look at permit costs for hooking up to waste and sewer, and be sure that's in your costs. Oh boy, we got a real good one from Instagram. I forgot who said that though. So thank you to people, Cindy, for making the first comment. And then I think it was Kristen who made, it was Chris Starr who made the second great comment. Yeah. Knowing what the hookups are, that's really, really true. Also knowing about, like, how much is it going to cost to get internet out there? A lot of people now are going to, you know, like satellite internet and et cetera to try to make it happen. I forgot what my partner in Colorado who lives in a mountain has. But even for them, it was very hard to get, you know, certain types of amenities out there. So that was a big part of their decision and to go that route. So, yeah, whatever makes you, whatever floats your boat, buddy. You know, I'm not here to yuck your yum. So if that's something that you're really passionate about, then I say you should absolutely go for it.
Okay.
Oh, one more good one. Someone said that cities and towns can also have limitations on modular homes. So make sure you check your local laws. That's a good one, too. See, this is why we should be doing this live all the time. This is great. It's like I'm outsourcing knowledge.
Yeah, baby, just wait until we can get all the chats into one spot. You can see them all.
Oh, my God. They're going to have hundreds of people just telling me that I don't know what I'm talking about.
It'll be great.
It's going to be so good.
Are you ready for another question?
Yeah, I think we have time for maybe one or two more.
Okay, I've got maybe a potentially longer one here for you.
Oh, okay.
All right, from Gabrielle. I know you won't see this, but I'm writing in the hope for some advice. Maybe I'm writing this to get it off my chest in some ways. It might be very personal, and I'm sorry if it's too much, but I have a cousin who I believe is transitioning, but hasn't admitted it to the family. I'm not saying they need to shout it from the roof, and honestly, they have every right to do it privately, but I would like to know how I can support them. All I want is my cousin to be happy and to feel accepted. The world can be cruel, and I want them to know that I've got their back no matter what, but I don't want to push them into admitting it if they aren't ready. They live in the States, and I'm in the UK, so it's not that I physically see them often, but I want them to know that they are loved and supported no matter what. What can I do to support them? I'm clueless.
Oh boy, this is a big one. So first and foremost, I wanted you to know that I think your heart is really in a beautiful place. I think the fact that you're taking the time to think about this and taking the time to think about how you can assist or help is really beautiful. But I do want to point out what I think is pretty obvious. This is not your choice and it is not your prerogative, right? So you really have to follow the lead. It's really like, you know, Simon said kind of scenario, right? Like, don't do something that could potentially harm the person that you're trying to actively help. And I think that is such a big part of this discussion. And I think every single person is going to have a different take, a different angle on it, you know? I think the most important thing, though, is to not keep secret your support and then not keep silent on it. I do get overwhelmed when people are, like, pouring out their heart to me. So, like, if it was me, I wouldn't necessarily receive someone, you know, being like, oh, you're so amazing. Oh, my soul. I love you, you know, like, trying really hard to prove themselves as an ally. I think that that is not necessary. I think it's more important to show that you love them individually, not that you support their identity. I think that if you tell them that you love them and then you care for them, I think that in its right is telling you them that you support their identity, you know. I think that sometimes well-meaning allies really feel strongly about wanting to show that they're well-meaning allies, and I don't actually think that's a correct approach to this. I think that showcasing that you love them and that you care for them is going to reign supreme in this instance. And then being prepared for the ultimate, you know, if they come out, are you going to be there? You know, if they choose to come out to their family, are you going to be, you know, vocally in their support? You know, what are you going to actively do to make that scenario easier for them? And, you know, you don't have to tell them, hey, you should do it, or I want you to do this. I don't think that's your position here. But I do think it'd be nice to know if someone was like, hey, if you do choose to come out to your family, I will absolutely be loudly there. That I will absolutely pick up the phone and I will call Nancy and I will tell her to shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? That would be what I would probably do. I wish we didn't have to think about this stuff as much. I wish we didn't have to, like, have this be a part of our stories actively, especially right now in the world in which we live in. But boy, oh boy, this is so necessary, you know? Thank you for asking such a really deep, 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 deep down question. And also, I did see it, by the way. I love when people start out questions like, I'll know you won't see this. And the first thing I always say as I'm reading it, well, I guess I saw it. But yeah, that's really beautiful. Thank you so much for asking that question. And thank you for demonstrating what I think it really should look like to be not just a strong ally, but a really strong loved one. You know, you're watching out for them. And I think that you don't even have to do anything right now. But just knowing that you watch out for them, that matters. And I think that plays a huge, huge part in people feeling like they can be themselves. I mean, studies have shown over and over again that one of the leading causes of people going back into the closet as a trans person is lack of support and lack of social, you know, uplifting, essentially. You know, like, people are much more likely to what they would call detransition when they, A, cannot get the medical access that they need for themselves, or when they don't have the active support around them and they fear for their life. So if you can support them, I think it's more than almost any other queer identity. I think it's extremely important to be very vocal on their behalf if they want you to. So, yeah. What do you think, Baze? Any quick answer there?
I think you hit all the good points.
Oh, God. It's almost like I've been doing this for a long time. Well, we have a someone who says, I have a carpentry trade test tomorrow. Wish me luck. I'm so nervous. Well, hey, good luck, 122. I hope that you are doing real good. Boy, we need more folks in the carpentry specifically. It's like extremely important now more than ever that we have more carpenters in this field. It is one of the trades that's the most affected by the aging out period right now that we're experiencing in the trades. So I think that if you're someone, especially if you're a queer ally, boy, you know what? Start getting that wood chopping. Chop that wood, buddy. but no, seriously though, taking up space in the trades via carpenter is a really great way to go. So thank you, 122, and thank you for that question earlier to that person. That means a lot to me. All right, we have exactly 3 minutes to end this show, Basil, before I have to go into therapy.
Okay. Do you want to close out, or do you want me to ask you one last question?
Go ask one last question. Let's go for it, buddy.
All right. We've got one from Alexa. Mercury, my bathroom door makes a loud pop whenever it's opened and a loud latch when it's closed. It's a round knob, probably from the 60s, and I'm tired of my partner waking me up when he goes to the bathroom.
Okay. So it's probably a hinge problem. The hinge itself, what you're going to want to do is take one hinge, take one pin out of the hinges at a time, and then put like wedges into the where the door meets the trim, right, in the frame rather, and you put wedges there, and that will prop it into the position where that actual hinge should meet up. So wherever the spokes are form the door is where you have to hit the frame hinges into. So you gotta align all the spokes, all the holes have to be aligned to each other. So you just take a little hammer, a little rubber hammer, and just tap, 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 tap them into place. And then you put the pin back in. And then you try that. And then you do the same thing over and over again. And it sounds like the strike plate might just be in the wrong place, perhaps? It might not be, but you can figure that out by, you know, sometimes painting the strike plate with painting the latch itself with something wet. You know, even makeup looks good, lipstick works really good, and then closing it a bunch of times, and then opening it, and then you'll see where that mark is inside of the act where the strike plate is, where the latch actually goes into, and where that wood is. That can tell you if it's a little too high, a little too low, and then it's just a matter of moving it or making it wider or anything around there. So, boom! Less than a minute and a half! Oh, she dropped the microphone! She did not. It's still on the table. But she metaphorically dropped the microphone! Everyone, I want to say thank you so much for tuning into this episode of the Handyman Hotline. I really enjoyed this. I may do more of these kind of streams. This is a flipping best. Thank you so much for all those who have tuned in on the Instagram or on the whatever this is called. This is YouTube. Thank you so much for being here. And as always, I want you to remember, until next time, you're worth the time it takes to learn a new skill and stay safe and sound. Bye-bye, everybody! And she's out.